Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Sunday, September 29th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a hot topic in California education. Let's dive right in. Today we're discussing California's new law banning certain food dyes in public schools. What's the reasoning behind this legislation?
Well, Ted, I've got to say, this law is a classic case of government overreach. It's not Uncle Sam's job to play food police and dictate what kids can and can't munch on at school. That's a decision that should be left to parents, plain and simple.
Actually, Eric, you're missing the point entirely. This isn't about controlling kids' diets, it's about protecting their health.
Oh, come on, Kate. Where's the rock-solid proof? We can't just go around banning stuff willy-nilly based on some flimsy correlations.
That's if you'd let me finish, Eric, I'd explain that the research is far from flimsy. Red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6, blue 1, blue 2, and green 3 are all linked to hyperactivity, especially in kids with ADHD.
Let's take a step back here. What specific products will be affected by this ban?
Well, Ted, some fan favorites are definitely on the chopping block. Popular items like Fruit Loops and Flamin' Hot Cheetos won't be allowed in schools anymore. It might ruffle some feathers, but it's for the greater good.
That's absolutely ridiculous. Kids love these snacks. We're not just taking away their choices, we're potentially putting a huge dent in school fundraising efforts.
Children's health is way more important than snack preferences or fundraising, Eric. Schools can easily find healthier alternatives that are just as tasty and fun.
But why target only schools? If these dyes are such bogeymen, why not ban them across the board? This feels like a half-baked approach.
It's a start, Eric. Schools should be setting an example for healthy eating habits. We can't change everything overnight, but we can make a significant impact by focusing on where kids spend most of their day.
This whole thing reeks of government overreach. What's next, banning sugar? Are we going to bubble wrap our kids and take away everything they enjoy? It's a slippery slope, I tell you.
Let's look at some historical context. Can you think of any similar food regulations from the past?
Absolutely, Ted. This isn't some newfangled idea. Back in 1906, the Pure Food and Drug Act was passed in the U.S., which put the kibosh on harmful food additives and misbranded products. It's all part of the same playbook, protecting public health.
That's hardly comparable, Kate. Those were genuinely dangerous substances, not some harmless food coloring. We're talking
about
stuff
that could make you... It's exactly the same principle, Eric. Protecting public health is protecting public health, period. And let's not forget, in the 1970s, the FDA banned red number 2 dye due to potential cancer risks.
But that was based on solid scientific evidence, not just correlations. We can't just go banning things willy-nilly because of a hunch or a weak link. There needs to be concrete proof.
How do you think this ban compares to other countries' food regulations?
Great question, Ted. Many European countries have been way ahead of the curve on this. They've had stricter food additive laws for years, requiring warning labels for these dyes. It's about time we caught up.
And how has that affected their food industry? I bet it's caused unnecessary panic and economic impact. You can't just slap warning labels on everything without consequences.
Actually, Eric, it's led to safer food options. Many companies took the bull by the horns and reformulated their products to avoid using these dyes. It's a win-win situation. Safer food.
But at what cost? Are we going to keep banning ingredients until everything is bland and colorless? This is food we're talking about, not cardboard.
It's not about making food bland, Eric. It's about finding safer alternatives. Natural food coloring exists, and it can be just as vibrant and appealing. Companies just need to think outside the box a little.
This feels like a slippery slope towards overregulation of our food industry. Before we know it, we'll be eating nothing but tofu and kale because some bureaucrat decided it's healthier.
Looking ahead, how do you see this ban playing out in California schools?
I'm optimistic, Ted. I believe we'll see a positive shift towards healthier snack options and improved student behavior. It might take some adjustment, but in the long run, it'll be better for everyone.
I predict chaos, plain and simple. Kids will bring banned snacks from home, creating a black market for Fruit Loops in schoolyards. You'll have little Johnny trading his apple
That's
for
absurd,
a handful
Eric.
Of...
You're blowing this way out of proportion. Parents will appreciate the healthier options and support the change. It's not like we're banning all snacks.
You're underestimating kids' love for these snacks, Kate. This ban won't change eating habits, just where they eat them. It's like prohibition all over again, but...
What about the food industry's response? How might they adapt?
I think we'll see progressive companies stepping up to the plate, Ted. They'll reformulate their products using natural dyes, setting a new industry standard. It's an opportunity for innovation and improvement.
Or they'll just pull out of the school market entirely, hurting school budgets and limiting options. You can't expect businesses to just roll over and accept these kind of
restrictions. That's fear-mongering, Eric. Many companies are already adapting, like Peeps changing their formula. It's not the end of the world. It's just progress. Businesses that can't keep up with
health
standards.
But at what cost? These changes could make products more expensive and less appealing. Not everyone can afford to pay premium prices for all natural
snacks. The long-term health benefits far outweigh any short-term inconvenience or cost. We're talking about our children's well-being here. Isn't that worth a few extra cents on a snack?
This law sets a dangerous precedent for government interference in personal choices. Today, it's food dyes. Tomorrow, it could be anything. We need to draw the line somewhere.
Well, folks, it looks like this debate is as colorful as the food dyes we've been discussing. While opinions may differ, it's clear that this law will have a significant impact on California schools. Thanks to Eric and Kate for their spirited discussion. Until next time, this is Ted from Listen 2 signing off.